Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Mortar charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 121 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, January 23rd. This is AA Ron. And in this episode, we talk about splits, Nordic injuries, and tons of Twitter talk. In the studio with me, as always, Kenny.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey. It was like Dr. Nick. Hey.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kenny.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
And also Jive.
Hey.
So yeah, it was quite a week, I guess. How was the week for both of you?
The week's kind of been interesting, but it's been good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
What does interesting mean? That is a loaded word in Minnesotan lexicon, you know?
It means I've been hanging out in ceilings more often than I'd like to be.
Well, he's got hooks. He's got he's got hooks hanging from his nipples. Well, that's interesting.
Well, not. Well,
don't you know?
Not quite like that, but yeah, you know, a lot of dirty work.
Tell me more about the hooks from the nipples and dirty work here.
Oh, you know, don't you know? Just the average, hanging stuff from ceilings. Yeah.
Yeah, real hard time.
Real hard time.
Well, I mean, I gotta say, I'm pretty excited. This isn't really this is totally unrelated to podcast stuff, but my wife was in Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, a 2-page spread about her jewelry work.
More than she's been in Minneapolis lately, huh?
She travels a lot. That's for sure.
And that reminds me of. Sorry, that reminds me of the gangster movie Goodfellas, where they have the guy on stage with the king of one liners. It's like, yeah, take my wife, please.
Kenny, you weren't supposed to talk about that. Wait.
Can we just get more of that? Anyway, I'm very proud of my wife because she had a great write-up, actually, about how hard she works doing her jewelry stuff, and I'd be remiss not to mention something about it because it's awesome, you know?
You act like she's going to listen back to this.
Oh, she's not, yep. But it's if there's any women listening that like jewelry, go check her stuff out, LarissaLoden.com, because it's good stuff, and it's affordable, and I think that there's something to be said about inexpensive jewelry for women, because as guys, we know jewelry can get expensive quick.
Yes, it can.
Quick. And
second mortgage?
Yeah. plasma center? One or the other, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is she gender biased then? She can't make any jewelry for men?
She actually makes a set of cufflinks using old North Stars logos.
Ooh.
Which I actually wore to... I had a formal event where I needed a tuxedo with French cuffs. What was I rocking?
North Stars.
North Stars cufflinks.
Nice. See, that should have been like your gift to the guys in your wedding party.
Well, we didn't find the components until well after the wedding.
Fair enough.
It was actually a funny story. There was a dead stock warehouse in Rhode Island. They had boxes of emblems. So they had the North Stars logos. They had some Flyers logos, Rangers, which makes sense for the area. And I think some Winnipeg Jets emblems. And I was like, buy all of them. Buy the whole box because these are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, see, you can have like your 10th anniversary as like a second wedding, and we can all rock some North Stars cufflinks.
Sure, why not? But she does do more cufflinks than just North Stars cufflinks.
Yes,
but that actually fits back with the hockey theme at least. So
it does.
Anyway, enough about me and my wife.
I'm pretty sure she probably makes more quality goods than what I've been dealing with the last week.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't own a Samsung phone, so, you know, I didn't have anything, like, explode on me or anything like that. But I will get into, because that's been my frustration this last week, is the Samsung appliances that, you know, I spent some dimes on, and they have totally failed out. I had a microwave go out on me. The dishwasher went out for the fifth or sixth time now. And, yeah, so I have now vented. So you talked about something nice and good and people who work hard and build quality stuff in Larissa Loden jewelry. I talk about Samsung, who makes cheap-ass shit that breaks.
So you're saying we are fair and balanced.
We're balancing it out.
Yes. We're not fair. We're just balanced.
Balanced, yes.
It's better than being imbalanced, true, I guess.
True.
Kenny brings the imbalance, I guess.
It happens. There's something else. I think that might be it.
All right, Wild Week?
The Wild Week?
Yeah, why not?
Was there one?
It may not have been wild, but it was kind of obtuse.
I would say it was a pretty wild week, though.
It was a week.
It was pretty wild, too. And it could have been weak.
So
at some points.
While a lot of the past four games... past four games this last week, 2-2 over the week. So 4 points, I think. Well, we all would have lost Price is Right rules.
Yeah, yes.
I would have been closest with five.
We were all over, yes.
Yeah, we were all over.
So we took a loss to the Devils, a 4-3. You know, it was a tough loss against a team on the edge of a playoff potential. You know, they're kind of right in that cusp to getting in on the in the East as far as the wild card goes. They get a late game winning goal. It sucked. Coyotes, we took a 4-3 win, which probably should have been a better win than that. I mean, against a team that's really struggling in the West right now.
Right.
Ducks on Hockey Day, Minnesota. 5-3 win, and we pretty much dominated that game.
Well, which is funny, because I think we all said if we're going to lose a game, it's going to be against the Ducks.
That's the one we're going to lose.
And right? That was the one of the games that we won. So, right.
And I mean, you know.
What the hell do we know, and really?
I don't know if I could agree with you saying that we dominated that game. I mean, I think that the Ducks actually had the Wild's number for a better part of that game. Because
it was all the third period.
Yeah.
Third period is like.
Yeah.
You know,
but before that, I mean, the physicalness of the Ducks was just, I think it was overwhelming.
It was grinding them out. Yes. It was seriously just wearing them out. And yeah. They were trying to match hit for hit. It wasn't working.
No, it doesn't quite.
Not working.
Well, and then the next day on Sunday, day after the Ducks game, we play the Purds. And we blew a 2-0 lead. We lost 4-2. Captain K was out that game. No Koivu, he was out with illness. Follin was a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
I don't think we didn't have Brodin for...
Brodin's out.
For most of those games? All those games?
I think he was lost during the Ducks game, if I remember right.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I do
the
have
the Devils
to,
game? No?
I know it's not on our docket, yeah. But the one thing I need to bring up is that beautiful. And I'm not... I am probably the biggest opponent of fighting in hockey, but damn, that fight between Stewart and Kraus in the Arizona game.
That was a pretty good one.
Gorgeous.
Just yeah. Clean his clock.
And that kid just has like this pompous Breck looking face that needs to get punched. You know,
Breck looking face.
I don't know why Breck comes into my mind, but Breck does come.
A school
is that like a cake eater face?
Well, it's like Edina, but more pompous. Okay. Is really kind of where I go with it, but you know, but it was beautiful. It was honestly, I know Jive, you and I were at up at a Sporty's watching the game. We're just like, woo! He was just getting his clock cleaned by Stewart, and
that and I guess you know we've seen actually a few fights come out this week here, and I think that you know they've all been kind of spirit lifters to say you know a little bit you know they've gotten a little bit of you know power behind the team, and I think they've worked actually to the Wild's advantage when they had those.
It's worked out surprisingly, actually. Because yep. I'm sure Felsko will correct this, but I don't think we had a fight during the Perds game. So
I don't think they got scrappy and there were some scrums.
Right.
But I don't think there was actually a 5-minute major. I think at the very most we had some.
I think there might have been.
No, Nino went out with dude.
Yeah, Nino went out like several times as
but it was matching penalties. No,
yeah, right. I think against the Predators last night it was more problem that the refs weren't calling anything.
Well, last night against the Predators was also back-to-backs with the Brads, cuz we had Brad Meyer against the Ducks, and then we had Brad Watson against the Perds.
I see.
And I think Watson was making up for some of the non calls that Meyer did not make on Saturday.
I'm pretty sure by the comments in chat that there's no love lost between most of people and Breck. So
yeah, that's kind of what it's looking like.
No one's looking fondly back at their days at Breck.
Hey.
Except for people that went to Breck probably and beat up all the poor people in their neighborhood. So
my high school didn't even have a hockey
team. The poor people in Edina, in the ghetto that is Edina. So
well, but cake eaters. It's more St. Louis Park there, I think.
It's on the edge. It's on the edge. You know?
No, I think Breck is actually technically St. Louis Park.
Yeah, because I think it's more off of Excelsior there.
It is.
But there's plenty of kids from Edina that go to
Breck. I'm sure.
Believe you me.
It's a private school, so I mean they're shipping in kids from wherever.
Well, but Edina is going to be a big feeder for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Captain K out last night due to illness. And he might potentially be out on the trip to Dallas. I know Birchie got called up, I think, for him. How much do you think he was missing that 4-2 loss against Predators?
I think the biggest thing, and it's kind of a weird way to put it, is I actually in faceoffs, I noticed that a lot in the game yesterday was that we were losing pivotal faceoffs, particularly in the offensive zone where we should have the advantage.
But that would be Koivu
It normally would have been Koivu, and we were losing those. And that, to me, was what was pretty pivotal in the game yesterday. I hope that it's a temporary thing and he's back come tomorrow, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely think that Koivu was being missed. I mean, you know, I don't have his exact stats in front of me, but I mean, over probably the last, you know, 10 or so games, I mean, I know that he's been putting points on the board, you know, both dishing the puck off and putting it in the net. And I think that, that line that they had built up had actually, you know, actually started to gel. And you know, it's unfortunate that he had to miss. And I definitely think that, last night we felt those lines being jumbled up basically.
Yeah. I mean, and that does hurt. You know, and then I think even switching up some of the defense, you know, pulling Fallen, who did we have in last night? Prosser and
Riley.
Yeah.
Called up instead of Folan. I think, you know, the D looks slow.
Well,
and more so than just than Suter gliding.
It's not that Folan is slow. It's that Folan could match physicality, whereas Riley kind of folds. Riley's not a big guy.
Right.
And Prosser, he tries to play big, but he's not a big guy either, you know?
Yeah.
And Prosser just, I mean, he's a good seventh D-man is really what it comes down to. Or he's a capable seventh D-man. If you're playing him every day, you're probably going to have a tough time.
Right. And I guess, you know, myself in watching it last night, I think that Riley showed, you know, that he was still a rookie. I saw, you know, a few mistakes on his part, basically, that, you know, maybe didn't in turn exactly cost the Wild a point every time. But I think that, you know, there was a few errant passes. And I think at some point it was him and Dumba that were playing together as well. But, yeah, it was I don't know. It felt all off kilter last night. Like, everything was jumbled around. Like, I know Boudreaux, you know, shifts his lines around and does things like that. But, like, last night it felt like, you know.
You know what was actually.
Something was tipping.
You know what's actually kind of funny, though, is that Boudreaux definitely shuffles lines around. You remember how much people were complaining about Yo shuffling lines, like, a year or two ago? Mm-hmm. It was like Yo was the Antichrist of shuffling lines.
And that's going to happen when you're making moves like that as a coach and things aren't going right. You're the one that's going to get blamed because you're moving the things around and the pieces aren't working right.
The difference was, though, is Yo was moving lines around and the Wild were getting scored on. Generally speaking, Boudreaux is moving lines around and they're scoring goals.
There has definitely been a lot more offense this year. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
So that's the week.
That's the week, huh? All right, let's get into MOD.
Wild card.
So we've got, let's see here. We got a couple of games coming up here that are, you know, I would say that they're pretty important.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of divisional games. We got the Stars and we've got the Blues.
Blues on NBC Sports.
On NBC Sports again.
Hello, Pierre.
Hello, Pierre.
We can hope it's the Panger, but it'll probably be Pierre if we know our luck.
How many times is Crosby going to be mentioned in that game?
Well, I'm hoping it's Pang because it's the Blues. I'm praying it's Pang because it's the Blues.
If it's not.
If it's not, though, we're all... No one's a winner here. Everyone's a loser.
So we'll hear more about Pittsburgh than we will about St. Louis or Minnesota.
Well, you know, you can...
Or about Shattuck.
You might hear North Dakota. You might hear a lot about Chicago because they're in the same division. And we'll
I'm
hear
a big
about,
fan. It's a good show.
We'll hear a lot about Kane. Maybe a little less about Hossa and Donkey Teeth, but, you know.
That's just... The NBC should have a stipulation that if you're going to go and you're going to be commentating on these games, you talk about these teams only and not any other team.
That's not going to happen. That's some wishful thinking, but that's not going to happen.
Well, if it was Pittsburgh and Washington, do you think we'd hear about Chicago or Minnesota or St. Louis?
Probably not.
Exactly my point.
But in fairness, how many cups have we won? Cue the crickets. In fairness.
I'll give you that.
We don't have a room to say, you shouldn't talk about Pittsburgh or Chicago because we have won nothing, you know?
I'll give you that.
Maybe granted, you could try like a to start like some sort of a conspiracy against one of them too, you know, a deflate gate, like they deflated the puck.
Well, they don't have to be so obnoxious about congratulating Chicago and Pittsburgh, though. This is fair. In L.A. Yeah. In L.A., to be honest.
Which L.A. won their first cup in, like...
Ever.
Ever.
Right.
And they haven't done shit since. You know, what else we got coming up, Jive? Stars?
Yeah, we got the Stars and the Blues this week. Both divisional games. You know, if we're looking to stay in front of, you know, stay in front of the pack and at least keep even with the Blackhawks, we're going to need to make sure that we, you know, stick it to them.
All right.
But, yeah. And then after that, we've got the All-Star break coming up.
What's going on with the All-Star break?
I don't know.
That we're concerned about.
Not too much. We got a coach there. We got a goalie there. We got a defenseman there.
So we're not that concerned about them getting hurt during it?
I don't think there's a lot of injuries that happen really during the All-Star game. I don't think that the guys are out there necessarily straining themselves, I'll say. But, you know.
I mean, Dubnyk could take a puck off the coconut.
He could, but, you know, what do the goalies do? They just let him fly by him right at the All-Star game. Right?
We can just hope that Boudreaux just double skates Kane.
Yeah.
And any other Blackhawk or any really divisional, you know, opponent.
I think Blackhawks are the most concern.
I would say if you could force them to fight in an All-Star game.
Hey, Kane, you see... Number 22 out there. Go get him. just go get him. I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately.
Just go get him.
Yeah, you know what to do. Light him up.
Yeah. So, but that said, I mean, we have the All-Star break coming up. You know, we've mentioned earlier today that we got Koivu, who was out with an illness. Hopefully he'll be back, though.
For the Stars game, right? Yep. Tomorrow.
So I know he traveled with the team, right?
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully we'll have him back. We're still missing Brodin, though. He'll probably
That's going to be,
gonna
be for, 4 weeks, I think, yeah, is what I heard.
He'll probably be out for a while. So, with all that said, I mean, you know, as an All-Star break, is this coming at the right time for us then anyways? You know, I don't feel we're super banged up, but
no.
I think that, you know, I mean, this last week, I think we've seen a little bit of fatigue take place over the, you know, throughout the team.
Well, I think there's a few ways you could look at it. One way would be that, you know, I kind of wish Dubnyk would have some time off.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get that time off, and that's kind of a bummer. I could also say that if it was a month later, I'd feel a little better because I know what a grind the last 2.5 months of the season is going to be for the Wild with lack of
every
days
other
off.
Day.
Right.
It's going to be a grind, and that's going to be the part where I wish it went just a little bit later in the season than it is as scheduled, you know?
Well, and that said, though, the Wild have kind of had it, let's say, just, you know, kind of a little bit easier, you know, I guess, than some other teams over the first half of the season. So, yeah. What do you guys think? Should we get into the Twitter talk?
Let's do some Twitter talk. We got lots of questions this week.
Lots of questions. Yeah. Let's hurry up and get to those.
And we're going in dry because we haven't really read any of these, so.
Yeah. Yeah, this could get ugly.
This should be interesting, actually.
I'm going to wet. If we're going in dry, I'm wetting my whistle with some of these green grenades.
That's what she said.
First question from Tim McHugh, friend of the show, Tim Nato. Which Wild player have you had the biggest change of opinion on from last year to this year? Positive or negative? I know I have got my answer, and that's Coyle. I thought Coyle was not, you know, figuring out his thing, and
oh, he finished the year strong last year, though.
I see. I was not impressed with him pretty much the whole season last year, and I think this year he's turned things around, and I'm seriously impressed. He's had a little bit of a dry spell here, so I'm hoping he can, after the All-Star break, or maybe a little before the All-Star break, he kind of clicks again. But the way Boudreaux switches lines around, it could have been a line combination he had that was also helping him too. So who knows?
I'm gonna go with Zucker.
You got a Zucker jersey right behind you. You were low on Zucker last year, and now you're high on Zucker.
No, I.
He said positive or negative in for his question. You know.
So you negative on Zucker? No.
You can't be negative on Zucker because he's been. let the man explain.
All right.
I was high on Zucker last year. He definitely started off strong. what is it?
Stick it to the man. That's for you, Kenny.
Thank you, Jive. Where's my sample? Right here. There we go. So Zucker was, you know, he started off great last year. Going in, he was getting some of the goals right off the faceoffs. He was actually playing strong, using his hands. This year comes. I was sticking it to the man.
Oh, jeez.
So what was that, Aaron?
It goes two ways. You realize this?
Wow.
That's what she said. Yeah. So what were you gonna say about Zucker?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
No. So, I don't even remember. Zucker is my guy, though. I was positive, I was negative, and now I'm positive for him.
All right, and mine, I think I've talked about him before, but Scandella,
this is a negative.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. Actually,
I'm having a hard time finding what happened to his game. Like, he's making mistakes out there that, like, I wasn't used to seeing from
him. Right, I would agree.
And I'm just not sure, like, if he's playing injured or what the deal is. But, I don't.
On that same kind of, I'm positive on Coyle. On the flip side, Dumba has been pretty disappointing considering the time he's had out there. There's been too many times where I go, Dumba, what are you doing right now?
And Dumba's been pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
Yep. And I can agree with that too. Aside from, you know, having a killer shot at this point right now, there's been a lot of times when, yeah, he's made some boneheaded rookie-like moves that, you know, we're expecting that he's growing out of those and wouldn't be making.
We'd hope so, but yeah, no, it's still happening.
Yep.
All right. So.
All right. Next question. Sorry. Let me correct myself.
Humanga's big.
Next essay comes in from at MN Frosty Boy, Chris Frost. He comes in. Care to project 23-man playoff rosters, assuming no injuries?
Okay. Is that the first question?
I don't know.
Okay.
This is just the first sentence of the essay as far okay. as I'm concerned.
I will preface you when you need to pause. Go for it.
Speed or experience?
Pause. Okay.
Let me rephrase that question again. Care to project the 23-man playoff rosters, assuming no injuries, speed or experience?
Let's just stick with the speed or experience, because there's some people on the players on the fringe where we might go. They might be playing. They might be not. Who knows? I think under this team, it's going to be experience. That's the way Boudreaux seems to play.
I'm going to agree with you, Aaron. I think it's going to have to definitely be the veterans coming in and playing the game, because the veterans are also the ones that I think are going to be able to adapt to his system a little bit more, even though that they've had different systems instilled in them. I think the veterans can look at it for the good of the team and not for the good of the person.
Well, and you can take a look at, like, even last night's game. He's got Parisi skating on the third line with Palmaville and
Halla
all night. But when it came down to it, at the end of the game, when time's winding down and things really mattered, his man was out there. Parisi was out there.
Right. He's not playing kids for kids' sake.
Right.
And he's gonna go experience. I mean, he's lucky in the sense that he's got a lot of speed on this team, and he can play speed where he wants to. And the fact that you got Zucker or Halla or Granny, and you can play them at will.
Right.
I mean, he really has the best of both worlds. The biggest thing he doesn't have is physicality, and that's going to be the toughest thing. That's come playoff time, it may not be that big of a deal. Because he's had physical teams both in Washington and Anaheim, but come playoff time, you need
toughness. You need the.
I don't think you necessarily do. Yeah, I mean,
no,
because you're not getting into fights during the playoffs.
No. I'm not saying like a fighter. I'm just saying toughness in general. Like, you need somebody that can go to the boards, that can battle, and that.
Not if you play your game though, because look at the game versus Anaheim where, all it took was a third period and bam, 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 bam. And all of a sudden, true. Anaheim's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Things
can change quickly in a heartbeat. I mean, I wouldn't even say a third period. That was, those goals
a
were.
2.5 minutes or whatever?
Like,
right.
A couple minutes. It's like, wow. But So, and Frost continues the question here. So, of that roster.
Continues the essay?
Oh, sorry. Continues the essay question. So of that roster, what traditionally weird and kind of unfortunately timed injury will the Minnesota Wild suffer right before the playoffs?
If I'm a betting man, I'm going to say Stahl goes down. And that would be the
well, okay.
The big loss to the skating line.
I think that wouldn't probably be. I mean, don't get me wrong. Stahl's been huge for the Wild this year, but I don't think that would be a Wild killer at this point.
Well, everything's pretty spread around as far as skaters go. Yeah.
So my weird,
devastatingly, I think I know where you're going here, John.
Oh, yeah. You know right where
I'm
going. I
know exactly where you're going.
We're going right.
I didn't even want to bring it up because, like, it hurts to think about it even happening.
So I'm going to knock on wood here. Hopefully y'all hear that.
It's composite of something.
Don't blame me. But Dubes is going to go down with, like, some weird ACL-type injury.
Okay. You guys aren't thinking weird enough.
Not weird enough?
No.
Oh.
Koivu is going to give birth. Come on. You got to think outside of the box.
Boudreaux gets a diabetic attack.
It's 2017. Things can happen. Crazy things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So basically you're saying he's out because he missed his period.
He needs a drum roll. A drum. Yeah. Thank you. That was a pretty good one, actually.
Oh boy!
Okay,
you can't do that.
Okay, we got more. We got more of the novel from Frosty Boy here.
Okay, so after that, so
and more.
Were these all one question, or is this?
Well, this is like 20 tweets, I think.
How did I get roped into this?
Because you're number two.
I'm number two. No, I'm number one. I'm number one.
Make Jive great again.
Alternative facts.
My hands are too big. You know what they say, guys? Wait, I messed it up. You know what they say about guys with big hands?
Big gloves.
They wear big gloves. All right.
I thought it was like big feet and big shoes.
Big socks.
I do wear pretty big shoes, too, I think.
Anyway, moving on. Or staying with the same question.
Right. So, projection for the biggest free agent trade overall, league-wide, at the trade deadline, and the effect on the Minnesota Wild.
My guess is going to be a goalie, because I think because of the way the expansion draft is going to work, teams are going to be looking to, you know, move off their second goalies, which could alter the way some of these teams play down the stretch with their goalie usage. That's going to be my guess. I don't know what team or what goalies, but that's going to be my guess.
Aaron, I'm guessing that was just kind of your generic answer, because if it's like me going, I didn't even look at this, I have no clue who's going to be up for contract or not. And yeah, goalie seems like a good fit. So I'm just going to agree with you.
Okay, this is not like high school. You look over my shoulder and copy my answers here.
No. This is just going. Can't do that. This is just going. Yeah, a second goalie seems like a good pick because I have no answer for the question.
Okay, fair enough.
Jive?
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Okay. And next question.
No, I want to answer the question. I'm not going to have an answer for exactly who, but...
A backup goalie?
But no, but I'm going to say that, you know, I think that Aaron is probably right down, you know, will you knock it off?
I'm reading.
You're on a podcast.
I'm listening and reading.
Okay. But anyways,
I
think that Aaron is, you know, is coming in right down the line. In being right about his projection there with the goalies. I don't know that it would actually be a goalie, but I think that the expansion draft is going to have, you know, a lot to do with who moves where and who moves what at this point. So we will move right along.
All right.
All right. So this, I think, is...
Is that the last one?
No, this is the...
One more.
This is the final part.
We're not done yet.
This is the final part of the manifesto that Chris Frost has wrote.
This is like a Bon Jovi song. We're only halfway there, living on a prayer.
Right. Oh, that's a good one. All right. Final part. Will Leopold spend more time for being a name? Am I reading that right? Will Leopold spend... I'm sorry. Chris Frost, I just butchered your question. Will Leopold spend some for a big name other than the anonymous anyone from Buffalo as usual? Or is Oshie a free agent?
Okay, I can get this one right now. Unless he gets rid of a couple of the players that have no trade clause going on or no movement clause, I don't see him going after any big name because I don't think he's going to have the cap space, personally.
So if they have no movement, how are you going to get rid of them?
You can't. That's just it.
Yeah. Unless we're going to bring back Jordan Leopold.
Yeah, I honestly,
it was a Leopold joke, sorry.
I can't see another big name coming in right now unless he frees up a ton of cap space. But the only way he's really going to do that is he's got some big contracts on his hands right now with a Parise, Suter.
The way we're juggling guys between Iowa and the big team right now, there's not going to be any room. Unless we can move a Scandella,
Pommaville,
Spurgeon, Pommaville's not going to go
anywhere.
But
he's got a no-movement clause.
Right. It's going to be maybe Dumba, but he's, you know, the guys that we could move don't have very huge contracts, and that's a problem.
Yeah, so you're basically playing tit-for-tat at that point.
Right.
You're not getting anything big with major players because you're not moving major money at that point, and I don't see it happening at all.
Right.
Not until some of these other contracts expire.
Yeah, it There still might be some opportunity, though, later down the road to bring on, you know, somebody more veteran that, you know, could just help us down that final stretch if we can pick up, like, the last part of a contract or something like that, something where somebody will be a free agent, you know, come summertime. And, you know, maybe we can sneak in something under the cap there.
It's going to have to be a hometown boy, and they're going to have to be willing to play here for a lower pay grade because they're at home.
Yep.
I think that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yep.
So, all right, Teresa Ferries, Minnesota.
Ferris.
Ferris, thank you. Teresa Ferries. Benzina? Benzina? Vezina?
Vezina.
Yeah.
Vezina.
Vezina.
I think Vezina is the proper pronunciation.
Teresa Ferries at MNSoda 24.
Shut up!
What is the Wild's version of skating with the puck past the blue line?
I will say that I think that there is a mistaken notion that a team has to skate everything past the blue line. I think you need a good balance between threatening to do zone entries and chip it in and fight for it. Because if you try to do a zone entry all the time, teams are just going to pile up on the blue line and you're going to get
screwed. We've seen that happen.
The difference is this team can at least challenge with the chip and chase. Because if you if you can't challenge with the chip and chase, you're screwed. You need to have both going on. Any good team can do both, and you can decide what you're going to do to keep the defending team on their toes. In the past, it hasn't been that way, and we've been chip and chase. Last year, we got a little bit of the zone entry going on. This year, we have a lot more of the zone entry going on, but you need to be able to do the chip and chase to... Otherwise,
you need to do it effectively, though.
Well, you need a balance, because otherwise teams will just pile up on that blue line and make you challenge them.
And honestly, when they're dumping and chasing, I think that the Wild actually do a pretty good job of getting down there, forechecking, getting on pucks, gaining control of the puck in the offensive zone that way. I have noticed, though, that, you know, maybe over the last little stretch here, you know, we might be playing a little bit more of the dump and chase than we are of carrying the puck in. And I think that, you know, in the last few games, we've seen that their actual shot production, I think, has been down.
Right.
Based on that.
And one thing people need to keep in mind is that when they dump it in, it could also be a case where they're due for a line change and they just need a change.
Right. Well, and that happens on a regular basis.
Right. And you need to keep that in mind. And it's tough because we're not out there on the ice. So it's like, how long was Koivu out there? Does he really need a change?
So what you're saying is you need NBC stats.
You might be right there.
So NBC stats should have dump and chase as instead of shots on goal.
No, we need the shift counters.
Oh, the shift counters.
Come on, Kenny.
God. All right. Next question from hashtag Boudreaux for president, a.k.a. at Beth J. Pollock. Which I love the new Twitter name. Despite a few ups and downs in how Wild fans and how the Wild win, what is the difference in overall playing style since Boudreaux took over? What is the key to winning?
I just had this discussion with a fellow coworker, I guess. Closest thing I have to a coworker. And, you know, Boudreaux makes winning teams. We've seen it happen. We've seen him have Washington as a winning team. He's turned Anaheim into a winning team. He's turned the Wild into a winning team right now.
To be fair, we were a winning team last year as well.
We were. It seems more obvious this year.
True, true.
We're in a lot better position.
The one thing that Boudreau does not have, though, is a cup, as he's been coaching.
Coaches don't need to wear a nut cup.
Not that type of cup.
Oh.
He hasn't kissed the cup, and not the nut cup. But
Boo earns. Boo earns.
You know, he knows how to take the skill set that he has put in front of him, and he knows how to make those guys play together the way they should and balance them out and actually be able to match up with the other teams as far as, like, lines go and as far as skill set goes. And I think he's very solid with that. And I think, you know, when it comes to playoffs, you basically got season A, season B, and season B is completely different than season A. And you got guys that all of a sudden that, you know, didn't care as much, or I shouldn't say didn't care as much, but weren't putting 100% in, are now putting 110-120% in. And I think that's where his line might be drawn, where is he can get the 110% out of the guys right now, but he can do it come postseason. But I hope to be proven wrong with that statement this year. I'd love to see that proven wrong.
I agree. And I also, you know, I mean, Boudreau, he does. It seems that he's got some sort of a way with the guys. Like, you know, normally when guys get shuffled around from line to line, you might see a little bit of resentment in how they play or things like that. But I see the guys out there playing. I mean, I know it's easy to do when you're winning. You know, they've got smiles on their faces, though. They're having a good time. You know, even when they're, you know, I know it was mentioned earlier that, you know, they were probably dog tired, you know, over the last, you know, several games here, basically. And with the back-to-back, they're fine over the weekend and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they were playing with smiles on their face. And I know it's easy when you're winning to you know, have smiles and be happy about things. But, you know, I just feel like there's a different air around Boudreau. You know, people, you know, their charisma or their, you know, however they, you know, present themselves, you know, sometimes it can put a team at ease. And, I mean, if Boudreau just has that, like, special, like, grandfatherly touch or something. I mean, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's working. So,
all right. Next question.
Next question comes in from Tom Hohen at thohen88. It's several months away, but if the expansion draft was next week, which one is unprotected? 3, 16, 22, or 64?
Coyle, Zucker, Nino, or Granny? That is tough.
Thanks for the tough question.
That is unbelievably tough.
I might have to go with Zucker at this point. Maybe Granny.
Oof. I disagree. At this point.
See, and I think those guys have the easiest contracts to work around. So you'd probably be better off holding on to those guys. And I go Coyle or Nino because they've got longer contracts with harder to, especially with the cap space issues we've got. I'm thinking those two. I mean, it's painful to think about moving either of those guys.
Any of them. None of them you want to see go.
And especially because those two have the biggest contracts, but they're also the most physical guys that can also score. But that's probably what I would lean towards.
Yeah. If I'm taking one from the list, if I have to, it's going to be Niederreiter at this point. I think that Coyle still has a lot of upside left on him.
Yeah.
So I really would want to keep that around. Zucker, I mean,
it's unbelievably tough.
He's come around this year. And I guess I've never been a huge, you know, opponent to, you know, keeping Zucker around here. I think that he's a good player. I mean, I know that he had some struggles, you know, getting the puck to go in the goal, but I mean, so did the rest of the Wild team.
Right.
So.
All right. So expansion draft has had me thinking this past week, because the new team is still limited to the same salary cap that every other team is, which is, what is it right now, like 800?
I don't remember where it is. It's in the 70s or 80s,
like
somewhere.
78 mil?
I honestly don't remember right now. I think it's in the mid-70s.
So here's the thing. This team has to take one player from every team. You're talking 30 teams right now. They can't. You could actually leave some of your more expensive players that aren't producing unprotected and probably be safe, because they cannot afford to take a $10 million a player or an $8 million a player.
A lot of your $10 or $8 million players, though, are also going to have
no
clauses
move
in their right contract.
But you're going to have a lot of $3 million guys, and you can only put so many of those
but
guys
even,
together.
Even $3 million guys with 30 teams is 90 mil, and that's above
right.
that limit. So you could actually not protect some of your more expensive players, and potentially, you know, it's a gamble. It's Vegas. I mean
the bigger gamble is giving up those guys that are getting underpaid right now.
Well, I think maybe that should be the different angle to look at.
And that's where I go.
Those guys.
And that's where I, well, yeah, I mean, I see where you're going. But where does the upside lie? And
well, again, it's a gamble, because
if you're Vegas, do you take Coyle at, I don't know what he's making right now, what, 3-4 million? Or do you take Zucker, who's making less than that?
But has potential.
I mean,
you know,
if I'm the Wild right now, who am I protecting? Leaving? What's the one of those three I'm leaving unprotected? I'm gonna go Zucker. Zucker.
Okay, let's look at this.
I'm gonna go Zucker.
Who's the most valuable to you out of those four right now?
Most valuable, I'm gonna say, is probably Nino or Granny.
And I would go Coyle.
I could agree with Coyle.
So you're at 3 out of 4 right now.
But I have to leave one unprotected.
So then, yeah, you're probably...
I'm probably going Zucker.
Zucker is unprotected.
And my choice was Niederreiter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that exactly answered your questions in a whole, or you just got a bunch of banter, but right. Hey, you got something.
Right.
Can I put a Twitter question in?
No. You should have done it in your topic.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to interject here anyways, because it is right on topic with
mine. No, by all means.
It's just an invisible ink right after what Tom Hoehn said there. So there is a podcast.
My screen's not showing it.
Exactly.
I'm trying.
It's invisible ink.
Scratch and sniff.
Okay, so... in the podcast league, there's an expansion draft, and three in the box has to leave one player unprotected.
See ya!
No!
Oh.
This
oh,
isn't a question for you. This is actually a question for our listeners.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were booting me out.
They might.
So which one of the three of us would they leave unprotected?
Yeah.
And not regarding sexual intercourse, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
Oh, crap.
Okay. Oh, all right. Anyways, moving on.
Paula for a dollar at Finisotan 12 asks, what is up with the Wild blowing leads lately? Too comfortable or something up with Dubes? #3
Dubes is not playing as like he did during that streak, but he was playing during that streak like a god.
Yeah.
And
but Kemper gave up a 2-goal lead.
Kemper has been bad all year for the most part. So. The Dubnyk part we haven't been used to. So, but at the same point, Dubnyk has been playing kind of out of his mind. God level. And some players it happens, you know, Price had it a couple years ago. It's going to happen from time to time if you're a good goalie. I'm a little worried. I'm a little concerned with the, I know we got another question on that, but with the equipment changes, I'm a little concerned that that could be playing a part mentally with
Dubnyk's head.
But, you know, it's, I think there's some maybe something to that. Or maybe he's just coming back to Earth. You know, regression to mean, it's a thing and it exists.
Yeah.
And that might be what we're experiencing right now.
And really, a lot of the goals, though, I have a hard time putting on just the goalies. A lot of times it's some, you know, like the players in front of the goalies that aren't giving them the support, or they're making a boneheaded move that, you know, a mistake that is basically ends up costing us a goal. And, you know, but that's where when a goalie like Dubnyk, when he's playing, you know, when he is playing lights out, like he's making some of those saves. And
right.
He's making those guys in front of him look good when they make mistakes. But if he's not making that, I mean, was that last night, or was that, no, that was the Ducks game. I mean, what is he going to do on a breakaway coming down, shorthanded from the Ducks? I can't remember who scored the goal, but what are the odds?
Fowler.
Fowler.
Yeah, what? Quack, quack.
What are the odds for a goalie on a breakaway when a guy's just you know, blown down there?
Well, I remember during that little scene there, the Fox Sports guys were saying, you know, look, you know, we've got Pominville as the second D on the power play. He's not used to playing defensively. And,
no.
and frankly, on that whole play, that Fowler shorthanded goal, you had several breakdowns along the way.
Yeah.
And you had Dubnyk, who gave up the goal.
Yep.
You had Pominville, who didn't catch things. And then there was one other one. Prosser, who missed a play. I think it was Prosser, who missed a play.
No, because it was a power play.
Spurgeon.
Yes.
Spurgeon, I think.
Yes.
There was several players that contributed. It was Granny. I think it was Granny that turned over the puck. Anyway, there were several players that contributed to that shorthanded goal.
Right. How
to pin it on just Dubnyk would be unfair, I think.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
And that's, you know, it's a team sport, but you know, just likewise the same. A lot of times we do see the Wild playing in their own zone, and you know, defensively, a lot of the Wild do block a lot of shots, and I think that's, you know, to be said too. That helps out your goaltender. So it you know, it's all a toss up. But so yeah, sometimes, like you say, it's gonna come back to a nice little average, basically. Sometimes you're gonna be lights out, sometimes it's gonna you know, float by.
All right, next question.
We gotta move on.
Yep. Next question from Steve Secor at SJC Core. If the Wild win a cup before Koivu retires, do they hang his number from the rafters?
I think they will anyways. I can see him being franchised, and you know, he's basically been tenured with the team since, what, 2 years, 3 years after they started?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I think he's the longest Minnesota Wild player to date.
Yep.
And I could totally, I mean, I would not be surprised if they retired Gabrick's number, but I don't see it happening. But I think Koivu's number for sure would be one of them that they would look at retiring.
Yeah, I think Koivu is definitely got to.
His number's retiring regardless of whether there's a cup. Cup only further cements it.
Right.
And makes it so the Wild are bending over backward.
Yeah.
You know. He's basically their first official captain. I mean, the Lemaire,
the official captain for life kind of thing.
The Lemaire system, it's like it changed month to month.
Right.
So you didn't have an official captain.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, basically Koivu's been that captain
since Richards came in, you know, and
Captain K, I think, is gonna get that retirement sweater.
Agreed.
All right, next Twitter question comes in from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. There you go. All right. To mandate an equipment change mid-season like this, should they be doing that, or should they wait until the 2017-2018 season instead?
They should have waited, because this is changing mid-season is unbelievably dumb.
I agree. It's bunk. Have you ever put on a new pair of shoes, a new pair of pants, new shirt? Things are like...
Yeah, I do it before every work season. Like, you know, summer comes up, I order my shorts like a couple of months before it's short season. But
before the season.
And then I can break them in and wash them a few times. And, right. So, you know, fall's coming up, I order my long pants and, you know, I wash them a couple of times, I break them in.
So then they're comfortable when you work.
Exactly.
You're flexible. You want to show everybody how you're flexible?
No.
Okay. But yeah, so I mean.
Do you want to see that?
No. I was just seeing if I could get them to do it.
For some reason, you remember Reading Rainbow?
Yeah, with Jordy LaForge.
I just said, butterfly in the sky. As I was about to put my legs behind my head, pop into my head. I don't know why.
So, but yeah, I think.
Where's the cricket sample?
I don't know. Right over there.
Oh, he knows where that one's at now.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think that was the, you know, it's the wrong time. You don't change things like that mid-season. Though, you know, we have seen some goals and stuff happening. Maybe that the NHL thought that things were, you know, nobody was scoring enough. Things weren't as exciting enough.
You know what you do?
Change things up.
You fix that in the off season. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, if you look at the league right now, you could probably, if you want, I'm not promoting it, but I'm just saying if you wanted to increase scoring, alter the nets. Increase them by 2 inches, because considering how many pucks hit pipes,
oh yeah,
you're going to be increasing the scoring all exponentially, but by just moving it a couple inches, you know, Palmerville larger.
Will just shoot water.
Palmerville will, right?
You could probably just move it an inch on either side, because then those pucks that hit the outside of the post are going to hit the inside of the post.
Right? Yeah. No, you don't need to increase it much to increase scoring. I don't think, but. Yeah. All right, last question, Kenny.
All right, last question, and we got to go to bed or something or discuss work.
Not together, please.
Is it time to do that! Granny number 64 as trade bait, maybe for a better number two goalie.
I'm going to go back to the expansion draft, because bringing another goalie means we're exposing him to the expansion draft, so it's a pointless trade to do it. I think if you're going to move Granny, you're going to move him to balance out something. But I think actually the Wild are more likely to move a defenseman to try to... They're going to work with another team, and they could even package some players if they wanted to, if they're looking at the expansion draft. You move package a couple players up, a team that might have room to protect players and get maybe a better player in return. To package two lesser players for a better player. Well, I don't know if Granny's in that conversation, though, to be honest.
Here's my question, though. What goalie are we going to be looking at? Because, right, you know...
I wouldn't look at anyone. I mean,
Dubnyk's been top of the pack for numbers-wise.
Right, right, right.
And Kemper is serviceable.
You look at any other goalie in the league right now, you got Price, and Price has been playing like absolute garbage right now.
Well, even Bobrovsky.
And Bobrovsky's not been doing all that hot. Yeah. Compared. So who are you going to be giving up a decent wing for? I mean, he's scoring goals now. Granny is.
He's not scoring a ton of goals, but he's dishing them out.
Got the assist going.
And there's value to that.
What goalie is actually worth giving that up for right now that you could depend on? I don't think there's any out there. And actually, that kind of goes back to the last question. It's like, you got your top goalies, and it's great, but you get a backup goalie in there, and you want to shrink the pads to allow more goals, but you start looking at some of these the goals scored per game in the NHL right now, and I don't know if it's necessary to shrink the pads to keep the game more interesting.
You lost me, dude.
I lost me.
All right.
sorry, going back to the goal, the pad shrinking question. I don't think it's necessary because you don't have, like, the goalies aren't playing all that hot right now, which, I mean, I wouldn't trade Granny for a goalie right now to begin with.
No.
No.
And that, yeah, I don't know that he would be part of that conversation at all. I wouldn't put him out there as trade bait. Honestly, I think that if the Wild are making any moves at this point right now, it's going to be for, you know, picks down the road. It's not, I don't think that they're going to move any of the, you know.
I don't think they're going to do that. There's no way they're going to do that because as fans, we would eat them alive if they were moving players just for picks. I think if we're moving a Granlund, a Spurgeon, a Scandella, Dumba, one of those kind of players, it's going to have to be, I this is the way I see it, it's going to be a package deal, and we're going to bring in someone who's more capable than them and physical.
Well, and
that's where, what, I mean, I think that's the biggest need we have is that we don't have enough capable physical players.
And, well, maybe you're misunderstanding me, too. I'm not saying we're going to give up anything at this point right now.
Sure.
We might hand away a pick or two to pick up. That's the only thing I could foresee us doing is to pick up some sort of a defenseman, or not defenseman, sorry, a veteran player that, you know, is going to kind of beef up maybe. Because we do need a little bit of size somewhere in there. I know we've got a couple players, but I think we could definitely use a little more. And coming down into the playoffs, that's, you know, it's a different breed of hockey come playoff time.
So. I think Aaron Bugard's still available.
Aaron Bugard? Yeah, sure. We'll get right on that after he's off the wagon or on the wagon, one of the two. I don't know. Anyway, I think that's it for Twitter. I think that's it for a show. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Nostra Kenius, Twitter, Instagram. That's probably the best spots. That's where I put my most important thinking, or toilet thinking, one or the other.
All right. So if you want toilet pics from Kenny, go to there. Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
I'll let you know when it's a good day.
You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find things and links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions for us, send us those tweets, #3ITB. You can find our podcast at 3inTheBox.com. Find through your favorite podcast player or through iTunes. If you're on iTunes, leave us a review because that helps us. Give us 5 stars because people will find us.
Because you're Minnesota nice.
You're nice.
Yeah.
Ish. Or at least nice. Passive aggressive.
Minnesota nice.
And we understand that at least.
Yes.
So
you can send us hot dish too.
That works too.
We like hot dish.
All right. That's it.
All right. Good night.